You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Welcome to Monday, Raider Nation. Welcome to the start of another week. It is the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q on Twitter at all times, at your boy Q254. Today is Monday, January 21st, 2019. Lots of folks celebrating Martin Luther King Day today. It's not his actual birthday, but it is a celebrated birthday. So some folks are off work, some folks are off school, and then there's just some folks like me that just work, and continue to work. So if you're off today, enjoy your day off. If you're working, well, get your work on. You're in good company. Don't worry about it, all right? Hopefully everyone enjoyed Friday's episode and appreciated hearing my guy Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN, his interview with Derek Carr. I thought that was really, really a good interview. It told me a whole lot. There was a lot of things that were said in between the lines, if you know what I mean. So if you have not heard Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, you didn't hear the interview with Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno, California with Derek Carr, you need to go back and check it out. And if you did not give Christopher Gabriel a follow on Twitter yet, you should. Good dude right there, at CG Program on Twitter. That's at CG Program on Twitter. And again, 940 ESPN in Fresno, at 940 ESPN. Simple as that. Give my guy and his radio station a follow. They're real good people, real good folks, real good radio station. I spent a lot of time on Thursday on the radio station with them, probably about 45 minutes just talking NFL in general. Real good dude, so definitely follow them on Twitter. All right, today, on today's episode, you're going to hear different thoughts of Raider Nation on a variety of different subjects, including how folks ended up becoming Raider fans. They're really, really interesting calls. I love to hear the story on how you became a Raider fan. And believe me, man, these stories are really good. The ones that you're going to hear today are really, really good. I'm sure there's a lot of stories out there that are even better that we haven't heard yet. You'll hear that in segment number 3 and segment number 2, calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Also, you're going to hear in segment number 1, you'll hear my story, how I became a Raider fan. I mean, why am I going to let everyone else tell their story without me telling my story? And I think it's a pretty good one, too. It might not be as good as some of yours, but it's a good one as well. Over the weekend, I'm sure many of you know that the 17-year anniversary of the worst rule that is no longer a rule in NFL happened to pass by, the Tuck Rule game. Yeah, it passed on Saturday. I woke up Saturday morning. At some point, I got on Twitter, just kind of looking at my notifications, and saw the Tuck Rule game 17 years ago today, and it literally made me sick. I was like, here we go again. Here we go again. So I just kind of tweeted it and was like, oh, waking up to this is BS. I'm going back to bed. Try this thing over or whatever. I know a lot of Raider fans, some have already gotten over the Tuck Rule. I don't think it's something that I'll ever get over for many different reasons. One thing is it affected a lot of people directly. I reached out to Eric Allen. Remember defensive back Eric Allen who played with the Raiders? He had tweeted something out. So I reached out to him directly to try to get him on the podcast just to talk about that. He had tweeted out something about guys' jobs had been affected. Coaches were affected. You know what I mean? There's so many things that were affected besides the fact of the outcome of the game and the Raiders lost. You know, John Gruden probably never leaves if the Tuck Rule game doesn't happen. I mean, there's so many different variables, and I can go into it, and I could probably do a podcast alone just on the Tuck Rule. So let it be known, Raider Nation, I've reached out to Eric Allen to see if I can get him on the podcast just to talk about, obviously, the Tuck Rule, talk about the Raiders, just in general. Eric Allen's a really good dude. I remember when I was living in the Bay, I used to get my hair cut at Gums Barbershop in Hayward. Right next to Vals. Remember, is it Vals or South? I think it's Vals. Anyway, it's right there in Hayward, and I used to get my hair cut there. Me and my boy Corey used to be up there all the time, and we would run into Eric Allen and Ricky Dudley and cats like that all the time at Gums Barbershop. So we used to chop it up all the time. I'm sure he doesn't remember that, but I do because, well, that's just what I do. So hopefully I can get him on the podcast at some point. Not guaranteeing anything. We'll see what we could do. So that happened over the weekend with the Tuck Rule game, and I still will never, ever get over that. That started the Patriots dynasty, and, well, we see where they are as of today, right? Yeah, we absolutely do. So that was frustrating. But let's move on to something bigger and better. Not bigger, but just better. And that's the story of how your boy became a Raiders fan. And it's really funny, man. I went to my 20-year high school anniversary reunion in 2014. And I was with the wife, and it was funny because my buddy, Nate Rowland, he was trying to tell her. He was like, man, you can't believe Q. Back in the day, Q was the only guy rocking a Raider jacket and only one wearing a Raider hat and repping the Raiders while all the rest of us were all repping 49ers stuff. And it's true, man. It's true. It's funny because growing up, I was just a big sports fan. Sports have always been huge in my family. My mom, Mama Q, is a huge sports fan of all sports, basketball, football, tennis, baseball. I mean, everything. Mama Q does it. You know, she's just an athlete. So she's always been so heavy on sports. My dad was huge on sports. That really kept me out of trouble as a kid, as far as I'm concerned. Just the fact that sports were so heavy and in our household and meant so much in our household. And there were so many examples of guys that were getting in trouble in sports, if that makes any sense. And so it's kind of like it almost not raised me, but it almost taught me what not to do just by seeing guys do stuff that you're not supposed to do. Again, if that makes any sense. Anyway, I was just a huge sports fan. And really, I was a bigger basketball fan because I was a basketball player. I was a way better basketball player than I ever was a football player. And I was a really better baseball player than I ever was a football player. But I just enjoyed the sport. It was so fun to watch football. And really, I didn't have my finger locked in on exactly what team I was going to be a fan of, but I just loved watching the game. I just loved watching the game, and it was exciting just to see all these great players. And it's funny, man, because I always rooted for the Raiders, but they were in L.A. You know what I mean? When they were winning in Oakland, obviously I was still, like Marshawn Lynch said over the weekend, still a little jitterbug. All right? I was nothing major, and it wasn't that serious to me, the Raiders. I mean, it was cool, but it wasn't that cool. But I remember I used to listen. My dad used to take me out on his boat all the time on Sundays after church, and we'd always listen to the Raider game on the radio while he was fishing. I was just kind of sitting there listening to the radio, and I was listening to the Raiders play. And, you know, they were balling. They were playing really well in L.A., but they were in L.A. And so it was like, it was fun to listen to them. It was fun to root for them. But it was never something like I had to be a part of that. You know what I mean? I didn't have to be a part of it because it was in L.A. And I remember in 95, when they came back to Oakland, or when it was looking like they were about to come back to Oakland, I was dating a girl named Angelique Soares. And she lives in San Leandro. And her dad was a huge Raider fan. And obviously, he remembers all the glory days of the Oakland Raiders and being right there in San Leandro. Anyway, he was a huge Raider fan. And he told me the minute that they said that they're going to come back to Oakland, he was like, Q, you have to be a Oakland Raider fan. And I said, oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you talking about the home team. This is the home team, no doubt about it. And so the very first time I had an opportunity to go to the game, and before even the game, it was so celebrated when they returned to the Bay Area. It was so celebrated. It was like Jesus returned. You know what I mean? It was huge. It was so exciting to see fans of all ages and races and women, men, kids, everyone just so excited about this team. I felt like, man, the whole Bay Area has just come together and they come here to watch this game. So the first game that I actually went to in person, and I don't remember exactly what game it was, but just walking through the parking lot and getting that experience and then just, you know, celebrating with the fans and what a great experience it was when they returned. And I believe, Jeff Hostetler was the quarterback then when they returned in 95. And I think Mike White was the head coach. But, I mean, it wasn't really about all the great things that they were doing on the field, but it was just like, the Raiders are back. You know, the silver and black is here. And I remember seeing signs that said, welcome back to Oakland, L.A. sucked. I mean, just stuff like that. And I'm not trying to throw darts at L.A., but it was just different in the Bay. You know what I mean? So immediately after that, it was like, I am all the way absolute Raiders. But it's funny because, again, even being in junior high school, you know, people were all rooting for the 49ers because they were winning rings and everything. And I was like, man, I just really don't, not really feeling that team. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool that they're winning rings in the Bay and everything. That's great. But I'm just not feeling that team. And I remember all my buddies, man, Chris Sims, Nate Rowland, you know, just other guys that I hung out with in school. It made it sound like I only had two friends in school. I didn't. I had a lot of friends. But anyway, just, you know, they were all rooting for the 49ers. Until this day, they're like diehard 49er fans. But I was always the guy that I was, man, I'm just going to pull for the Raiders and give me that Raider hat. And let me get that Raider parka and let me get this. And man, I'm telling you, so I was the one dude that stood out differently, but I always wanted to be a little bit different. And it's funny because my grandfather, this is a real story, and you could ask Mama Q, my grandfather's nickname for me was Chief growing up. And that's always because I always had to be my own guy. I always had to be my own guy and kind of be the leader. But it's kind of ironic that I'm a diehard Raider fan and his nickname for me was Chief. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of ironic. You know what I'm saying? Not really the best thing for a Raider fan to be called Chief. But, I mean, hey, it was in the context that he was calling in. Plus, he's my grandfather. He can call me anything he wants. But anyway, that was a long story to tell you basically how I became a Raider fan. And it don't matter now where I live. It don't matter if I live in the Bay, if I live in Texas, if I live in Vegas. It don't matter where I live. I'll always be a Raider fan. And anything that is a spawn of me will be a Raider fan. And they don't have no option because it's a culture now. It's a culture, and so now that I know and I've been brought into it the way I was brought up to it, and now being 42 years old, you know, it's now I've passed that on to my boys, and my boys will pass it on to their kids. I mean, that's just who we are. That's just who we are, and that's who we're going to be. And so Raider Nation, I tell you that whole long story to tell you that's how I became a Raider fan. And I'll tell you, man, I know there's a lot of great stories out there, but I figured if you guys are going to tell yours, I might as well go ahead and share mine as well. Coming up in segment number two, got some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You want to hear how other folks became member of the Raider Nation? You want to know how they became fans? You'll hear that next, plus a lot more right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number two of the Locked On Raider podcast on this Monday, January 21st, 2019. Happy Martin Luther King Day. If you're celebrating it, if you got the day off, good for you. If you don't have the good day off, well, good for you as well. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. All right, so we got some calls coming off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line about a variety of subjects. 707-654-4693 is the number. Let's start things off with Zane in South Carolina. He's sharing his story on how he became a Raider fan. He has a really cool story. It's always, man, I said it before, interesting to see how people became fans. So here's a great story from my man Zane.
Hey, what's going on, Q? It's Zane from South Carolina. I just wanted to call in. Someone had asked how Raider Nation became Raider fans, you know. So I thought I'd call in to share my story, I guess. So, like, I used to live in California. Mainly in, like, the Sacramento, Rockland, Roseville area. And right before middle school, my family decides to move to Texas. And obviously, you know, I was, like, 11, 12. So I was kind of pissed, you know. All my friends were in California and all that kind of stuff. And just note, I did not know anything about football. I had never watched football. But about a year into my stay in Texas, Houston specifically, I went over to a family member's house, and they were watching the Houston Texans in 2011 playing the Oakland Raiders in Houston. And it was the year that Al Davis died. I think it was, like, right when it happened, too. That was my first game after. I remember Carson Palmer was our quarterback, and obviously I didn't know anything that was going on, but I was secretly rooting against the Texans just despite Texas, you know, because I was still kind of peeved and I wanted to go back to California, so I was just rooting against Texas, and the Raiders were that team playing against the Texans. So that's where it started, and as it went along, I actually bought Madden to play on my PS3, and that's when I actually learned football, and 2 and 2 just connected, and I haven't been able to let it go, man. Yeah, it's been fun hearing some of the stories, you know, of how people became Raider fans, just all over America, all over America, and even the world, really. So I think that's really cool, and that's why we're Raider Nation, man. Have a good one, Q.
Man, I remember that game when Michael Huff intercepted Matt Schaub in the end zone to seal the victory for the Raiders, and they only had 10 players on the field. I exactly remember that game, Zane. That's funny that's the game that really turned you to becoming a Raider fan. Man, I remember that. That was a very emotional win right after the passing of Al. That was great stuff. I remember that Saturday, as a matter of fact. He had passed on the Saturday, and obviously the Raiders played the Texans on Sunday, and I was at my house, and I was in the state of Texas at that time, and I got that notification on my phone. It said Raiders owner Al Davis passed, and I spent all day on Saturday watching NFL Network, and it was all nothing but tributes to Al Davis. A lot of great stuff that, man, I take that back. I go back to that day like, damn, it's almost like today or yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, man, that was good stuff. Thanks for bringing up those memories, Zane. That was great. Matter of fact, Zane wasn't done there. He actually had to call back again because he wanted to talk about the upcoming draft and talk more strategy. Not really, you know, who he wants, but the strategy the Raiders should take going into the draft at number 4 overall. Here's Zane in South Carolina, call 2.
Hey, what's going on, Q? It's Zane from South Carolina. I just wanted to call in and talk about a number 4 pick. You know, I was just sort of looking through some mock drafts, and, you know, it's ranging from got Quinn Williams to Clinton Farrell to Ed Oliver. We've talked about on the podcast, you know, who we should take, who we shouldn't take. Oh, this guy wouldn't be that good. But honestly, when you really think about it, at the number four pick, with all the talent that's in our draft, with only three people ahead of us, which, to be honest, not all of those teams might go defensive player or a player that we need. And plus, some team might trade up ahead of us for like a quarterback or something. So there is a really good chance that we're going to get a really good player at number four, regardless of who it is. Now, some of us might want one more than the other, but whoever we get, we're probably going to get a really good player. So I don't think we need to worry too much about that number four pick unless we go like kicker or something, or punter. But the chances of getting a good player at number four are just exponential. And honestly, I'm more looking toward our later picks rather than that number four, because it's almost a lock that it's going to be a great player. Later, Q.
Good stuff right there from Zane on back-to-back calls. Now, Raider Al in Georgia. He's actually a first-time caller. Had a couple quick thoughts to share from being a Raiders fan in Georgia. Also touches on the quarterback situation, and he also speaks directly to most known unknown. Here's Raider Al in Georgia.
Q, what's up, dog? I hope this is your number. This is Raider Al from Georgia. A long-time listener, first-time calling in. But my man, the must-known unknown, I got to respond to his call, because I go through similar stuff growing up in New Jersey and then moving to Georgia. People always want to know why I'm a Raider fan. I've been a Raider fan since the Heidi game. I'm 60 years old. That will never change. I want to say one thing about the quarterback situation. I don't want Kyler Murray. I don't want the kid from Ohio State. I want Derek Carr. Did people forget how long it took us to find a quarterback since Rich Gannon? It's like 20 years. I might not have 20 years left on this earth. Keep Derek Carr. Must known unknown. Yo, brother, I go through the same thing, man. Raider Nation for life. Peace.
Good stuff from Raider Al in Georgia. I appreciate you being a first-time caller. You cracked me up, too. You said, hell, I might not be on the earth 20 more years. That was good stuff, Raider Al. Definitely appreciate that. Now, going back to the 916, Mikey the Barber. He's calling to speak on his favorite Raiders game and why it's his favorite game. He has a cool story here. Here's Mikey the Barber.
Q, what up, man? It's Mikey the Barber from Sacramento. Just calling in to talk about my favorite Raider game of all time. I'd probably have to say Super Bowl 15. It took place on January 25th, 1981, which was my dad's birthday, and they played in the Super Bowl and won, obviously. And, you know, he got so happy, he got my mama pregnant and made me. I was born October 5th, 1981. You do the math, man. That checks out, I think. I'm no mathematician, but it seems like that would work itself out. So I would have to say that's my favorite game because that created me, man. What up, Raider Nation?
Very entertaining right there. Very entertaining story from Mikey the Barber. I'm sure a lot of us can date our own birth date back to big Raider victories. I mean, I'm not saying that for everybody, but I bet you that, you could probably say that. There's probably been a lot of people that have been born to some great Raider games or been the product of some great Raider games, if you know what I mean. Now, closing out segment number two today, Raider Baconator in Seattle. He's calling to respond to the question about how he became a member of Raider Nation, and I said it earlier in this segment, it's always cool to hear other people's stories. So here's Raider Baconator.
Hey, what up, Q? This is Raider Baconator in Seattle. I just wanted to call in response, I believe, was to Hakeem in Oakland, asking, you know, how did, you know, people become Raiders fans? This is one of my favorite questions to ask anyone that I ever meet, you know, especially, you know, I'm born and raised in Seattle, so if I ever meet, you know, people who aren't from California, it's always interesting to me, you know, to ask, you know, what's your story? How did you become a Raiders fan? You know, how did you become part of the Raider Nation? And for me, you know, growing up, I'm still in my 20s, so I didn't get to see, you know, the glory days of the 70s and 80s that, you know, a lot of Raider fans were able to. But growing up, I'm from Seattle, you know, I'm a huge Washington Huskies fan. And for me, my favorite player growing up was Napoleon Kaufman. So when he went to the Raiders, that was pretty much sealed the deal for me. And like I said, you know, I'm from Seattle, but I have family in Oakland. And then I started to become a really big fan, you know, once they got John Gruden. you know, in about 1998 and into 1999. And then, when I went down to my first Raiders game to visit my family in 2005, and I was hooked since then. And, every year since then, for 13 years straight, I fly down from Seattle to Oakland for a home game. Every single year, I always go to at least one Raiders game and see them live. And I know that might come as a surprise to some people, because I'm sure some of the callers think I might be some kind of Raider hater with my takes lately on, you know, Derek Carr and stuff like that, man. But, I love talking Raiders, and I mean, there's nothing more that I'm more passionate about, you know. And, you know, just that experience being there live and in person just really changed my whole outlook and, you know, my dedication as a fan. And, you know, I went out when I turned 18, I got a Raiders tattoo. I still got it to this day. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they keep, you know, frame pictures of their family, you know, their parents, their, you know, wife, their kids next to their bedside. Me, I got a frame signed picture of John Gruden next to my bed. So this is how, that's just how much that I love this team. And I just love where they're going. And I can't wait for them to bring back to the glory days. And I also wanted to give a shout out to the Raging Russian Raider in Dallas. That's my boy. That's my best friend. And also Nico in North Jersey as well. And I just want to say thanks for having me on the podcast at all times, man. And really appreciate it. And then just another week of great calls and from everyone. And just another week of great podcasts, man. I really appreciate that there's something that I, because I love talking Raiders every day. So I love that I can tune into your podcast and listen to you and the rest of the Raider Nation talk Raiders every day. Thanks, man. Raider Baconator out.
Great stuff right there from the Baconator up in Seattle. I love how Napoleon Kaufman played such a role in Baconator's passion for the Raiders. And just so you know, Raider Baconator, Napoleon Kaufman was one of my favorite Raiders, man. When the Raiders drafted him and he was out there, and that dude, he was small, but man, he was fast. You gave that dude a little bit of hole, he was going to, boom, he was going to hit it. It was always Napoleon Kaufman and Harvey Williams, long neck Harvey Williams, that, funny enough, the Raiders got from the Chiefs. But I remember one game in particular, man, where Napoleon went off against the Broncos. September 19th, 1997, it was week 8. Knapp had 28 carries and 227 yards, including an 83-yard touchdown run. The Broncos had gone into that game undefeated, and the Raiders were having a terrible season. But that game right there, just, man, it was awesome. And I actually had taken a girl that I was dating. I took her to the game, Joelle Arguella. That's her name. Anyway, true story. I took her to the game. She wasn't a big football fan. Like, she wasn't a fan of any team. But all of her family were all Denver Bronco fans. And so, of course, just, you know, going with the family, she was like, oh, I probably would be a Bronco fan if I was going to be anything. And I was like, no. Give this game a try. Come to this Raider game. Seriously, come to this Raider game. Check it out. Watch the, just be a part of the atmosphere, be a part of everything. And I guarantee you'll leave being a Raider fan. Till this day, Raider Nation, she is an absolute Raider fan. She is a diehard Raider fan. Look her up. I'm telling you, some of you wizards could probably find her on Facebook. I'm not lying. I don't make this stuff up. That's another reason why I'm such a big Raider fan, is because it affects that culture of being a Raider, being a Raider fan. It's just like you experience it one time and you're hooked. Like Zane said earlier, like he watched that one game and the way that they beat the Texans in Houston. And even though he was like low-key rooting against Houston, he wasn't really rooting for the Raiders. But the way they did it, it was just like, man, I got to be a fan of that team. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, man, there's always... The Raiders are just different, man. I always say that we're cut from a different cloth, and people always laugh at me for using that term, but I'm telling you, man, Raider fans and the Raiders itself, the Raiders are different than any other team in the league. They're just separate. It's like there's 31 teams, and then there's the Raiders. Obviously, as of late, it hasn't been good Raiders, but still, there's just 31 other teams in the league, and then they're the Raiders. They're just separate, man. They're just different. And so, anyway... Raider Baconator, great story, and well, anyway, I thought I had a good story to tag on that as well. So, coming up with segment number 3, yeah, I got more calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation. Final segment on today, on Monday, January 21st, 2019. Happy Martin Luther King Day. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q. You can always find me on Twitter, at your boy Q254. And again, the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail number is open and is always open at 707-654-4693. Appreciate everyone who chimes in when you do, how often you do, however many calls, however long they are or short. They are all good and all appreciated. Let's get segment 3 started with my man P.E. in North Carolina. He's calling to talk about his Raider story and responding to Akeem about how folks became Raider fans, in particular on the East Coast. He's talking to Akeem, but he also has a very similar story to the most known unknown. Real good stuff right here from P.E.
Hey, what's going on, Q? P.E. from North Carolina calling in. What's going on, Raider Nation? Hey, look, I want to call in response to my man, most known unknown from Philly. Listen, me and most known unknown, we got the exact same story. Hakeem in Oakland asked the question, how do you become a Raiders fan on the East Coast? My story is exactly the same as Hakeem's. I'm 45. 1983, I was 10 years old. Saw the Raiders beat the Redskins. I have a deep disdain for the Redskins because out here, growing up in the 80s, the only two teams we could get on TV was Dallas and Washington. Every week it was Dallas and Washington. So either you were a Cowboy fan or a Washington fan. And for some reason, the Washington fans were just more obnoxious than the Dallas fans, believe it or not. So I developed a hatred for the Redskins. And when I saw the Raiders smash the Redskins in the Super Bowl, I'm like, wow, look at these guys. And then I got the Sports Illustrated magazine after that. And I'm going to take you back here for a second, Q. Check this out. You know how you used to flip open a magazine to the middle and pry up the staples and take the pictures out of the magazine and then put the pictures on your wall and then, like, put the magazine back together and push the staples back down? Well, that's what I did. And I used to do that, you know, for a lot of magazines, but took all the Raiders pictures out, put them on the wall, and that was my team. Now, going back to most known unknown, about, you know, around 89, you had Tecmo Bowl come out, 89, 90, something like that. Tecmo Bowl came out, same exact thing. Bo Jackson, super unstoppable on that game. And also, you had the NWA phenomenon. Now, I had got a Raiders hat, Q, probably about 3 years earlier, and it was a white Raiders hat with the black bib and with black writing on it. And I had been rocking it for about 3 or 4 years, man, and it got dirty, but I was still rocking it anyway. And then NWA comes out, and you see them all on TV. Now everybody's rocking Raider gear. I kind of got lumped in with them as, you know, people just rocking it because of the NWA. But, you know what I'm saying, that wasn't the case. I was kind of pissed off, actually, because, you know, people would say, oh, you're just wearing that because of NWA, but that's not the case. But, and that just made me a more hardcore Raider fan at that point in time. But like my man Most Known Unknown said, I just thought it was very, very, very ironic that him and I got the same story. I'm in North Carolina. I consider myself East Coast. He's in Philly. He's definitely East Coast. But we got the same exact story. I guess I think we're around the same age, too. Like I said, I'm 45. I was born in 1973. So in 83, like I said, I was just getting into football. I had played peewee football for a couple years. Was getting pretty good at it. And so started learning more about the game. But, I mean, man, it's just phenomenal that him and I got the same story. I was going to call in earlier, but once I heard his call, I had to call in because, man, we got the exact same story. And it would be interesting to hear from other Raider fans on this side as to how they became Raider fans, too. So just wanted to throw that out there. And, Q, I think you're probably around that same age bracket as well. But back in the 80s, man, I had four images on my wall. One was anything Michael Jordan. Two was anything Run DMC. Three was anything Raiders, and four was the Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week, Q. I swear I had about 40 of those on my wall, bro. I know you remember the Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week. But anyway, like I said, much respect to my man, most known unknown. We got the same story, cuz. So anyway, peace out, Raider Nation.
Love P.E.'s story. I love his reference to NWA, the Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week. Remember that? Do I remember that? You damn right I remember that. Man, the Jet Magazine. Oh, man, the Beauty of the Week. Whoa-wee. I could tell you some stories. I can go on 30 minutes just talking about the Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week. Your boy got down, man. Please believe that. One of my favorite magazines of all time. So, P.E., I definitely understand you on that. Reference Tecmo Bowl. That was a lot of good stuff. And you're right, P.E., we are about the same age. I'm 42, so I'm right there in the mix with all y'all. I guess that's a great age right now. 40, anywhere between 40 and like 48, right? We're the cool kids. Yeah, whatever. Nah, everyone's cool. But yeah, we're cool because that's around our age right now. So PE, definitely appreciate that. Now, my man Vader Raider in the 303 calling about a few different subjects, including his favorite Raiders game, Kyler Murray, the location where the Raiders play in 2019. Here's a damn good call from Vader Raider in the 303.
What's up, Q? It's your boy Vader Raider, the 303. Wanted to hit on a couple of subjects after listening to the pod. By the way, the pod, once again, is off the chain, and it's just a great pod. You have to forgive my voice coming down with a little bit of cold out here in cold Colorado. Anywho, wanted to respond to my favorite Raider game. I just want to say I have three favorite Raider games. That would be Super Bowl 11, Super Bowl 15, and Super Bowl 18. I have a lot of games that I enjoyed, but none of those were my favorites. All the favorite games I'll ever enjoy are the ones where our football team, the Oakland Raiders, or wherever they play, are hoisting a Lombardi trophy. I just want to make that clear. Secondly, Kyler Murray. I don't care what the hype is. It's a hard no for me, Q. We got way too much stuff we got to take care of. We have way too many things we have to do. And I'm sorry, but Kyler Murray being on our football team is like the least of those problems. Of all the issues we have, quarterback is not an issue. So let's just leave it at that. Be done with it. Also, I saw that, Q, you were right. There is a chance, albeit it is a small chance, the Raiders will return to the Coliseum and play the 2019 season. If that's the case, I am going, Q, because I'll tell you what, I need to see the Raiders in Oakland one more time, and I'm waiting to find out what happens, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that you're right, Q, and hopefully you are. Anyway, Raider Nation, shout out to all Raider Nation. I mean, you guys at this pod, it's been terrific. To see where this pod has come from the summer until now, Q, I'm clapping. I'm giving you a hand, Q, because not only have we made it what it is, you've made it what it is. This is, by far, and it's because it's Raider Nation, one of the most intelligent podcasts that I've ever been a part of. And I'll tell you, Raider fans are the most intelligent fans in the NFL. I mean, obviously, we're the greatest fan base in the NFL, and we're the greatest fan base in sports. So, I mean, there's that. Anyway, Raider Nation, shout out to all you in Raider Nation. Have a great weekend. Vader Raider, out.
Thank you, my man, Vader Raider. Great stuff right there, and let's keep it moving. Brother Marquise in the 305 representing Miami one time. He's calling to respond to the question that was posed to Raider Nation last week about Mike Mayock and John Gruden. Can they get things turned around in the draft? Here's his thoughts on the draft and also cautions the nation as to what the Raiders can't do. Here's Brother Marquise in the 305 representing Miami.
Raider Nation, good morning. It's a Sunday. It's a beautiful day here in South Florida. It's your Brother Marquise calling to answer the question that Q posed. Will does John Gruden and Mike Mayock have what it takes to turn the team around in this draft? And my answer is, I don't know. I hope so. You know, like we all do. I have confidence in them. But one thing they cannot do, which a lot of Raider Nation is asking them to do, I think, is reach for a quarterback in the first round if for any chance of them being able to turn the team around. I liken this draft, and here's a hot take for you, Q. I liken this draft to the 2011 draft. I'm just going to read you off some of these players that went in the draft in the first round, and they went after some quarterbacks that I'm going to name because people always reach for quarterbacks. Cameron Haywood, Muhammad Wilkinson, Mark Ingram, Jimmy Smith, Cameron Jordan, Anthony Costanza, Adrian Claiborne, Prince Amukamara, Corey Legit, Nate Solder, Ryan Kerrigan, Mike Pouncey, Robert Quinn, Nick Fairley, J.J. Watt, Tyron Smith. You got a lot of all-pros there. A lot of all-pros there. And you got a lot of, you know, Pro Bowl players, and a lot of players are just really good players that have had good years and helped teams out. Now, quarterbacks that went in front of them. Christian Ponder, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker. Come on, guys. This is what's going to happen again to you if you reach for these Daniel Jones, Drew Locks, Kyler Murray. This is going to happen to you again. If you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it, guys. Roll with Derek Carr, draft a Pro Bowl caliber player, and stop playing around with these doggone quarterbacks that aren't any good. All right, Q, I'm out.
Thank you very much, Brother Marquise in the 305. Definitely appreciate that. I'm telling you, man, every time I say Brother Marquise in the 305, I think all I can think of is like Two Live Crew, Pitbull, Miami Vice. I'm thinking, I'm so, you want to talk about stereotypes. I think I just stereotyped everything with Brother Marquise at the 305, but I don't care, man. I'm a big Pitbull fan, because even the ugly girls that Pitbull hangs out with are good looking. I mean, seriously, I've hung out with Pitbull, so I know. The ugly girls are even good looking girls. Two Live Crew, well, they were icons back in the day. Miami Vice, who didn't want to be Tubbs and Crockett back in the day? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, who didn't want to be Tubbs and Crockett? You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't give a damn which one you called me. You know, hey, let's, you know how you always play, like, let's play Cops and Robbers. I always wanted to play Miami Vice. I just wanted to be one of the dudes. You know what I mean? They were the coolest dressing guys. They, you know, got all the good looking girls. Well, anyway, I'm giving you guys a history story. But yeah, man, shout out to my man, Brother Marquise, in the 305. I'll tell you a story about my honeymoon one day on this podcast, and it actually took place in Florida. So I can share some stories with you that they're not great, but they're stories. Anyway, let's finish out the podcast for today, for Monday, January 19th, 2019. Victor in Cali. He's calling about multiple subjects, including Kyler Murray, the hype built around him, the Raider Stadium in Vegas. He actually saw a YouTube video on it. And also the Derek Carr interview from Friday with my guy, Christopher Gabriel. Here's Victor in Cali.
Hey, Q, this is Victor from Cali. Hey, a couple things. First of all, shout out to Most Known Unknown for holding it down for Raider Nation on the East Coast and in Philly. Man, I was out there last month. Went to a lot of bars in South Philly, and I rocked my Raider gear everywhere. It's been nice to run into Most Known Unknown when I was out there. Maybe next time I go, I'll hit him up. As far as this Kyler Murray thing, we need to put that one to bed. The guy's a little shrimp. Just because he's a Heisman Trophy winner doesn't mean much. I mean, you can go back in the drafts and look at how everybody was hyping up Matt Leinart and Johnny Manziel and other Heisman Trophy winners that just didn't pan out in the NFL. This guy just does not have the physical stature to play quarterback in the NFL. In fact, I'd rather take Johnny Manziel over Kyler Murray. I mean, even if Johnny cranes his neck, he might get close to 6 foot, where Kyler would probably have to jump up in the air to reach close to that. So that's my thought on that. That's really all I'm going to say about Kyler Murray. Although I do like the hype about him, I'm hoping some of the other teams get all excited and nervous and desperate. You know, if the Giants want to trade at number 5 with us and give us an extra pick, I got no problem moving back. If they're taking a quarterback, we lose nothing taking the player we wanted to take anyway. Jacksonville at 6, that'd be a great trade. Tampa Bay at 7, I would do that too. Denver at 8, no way. I'm not giving them anything they want. But if Denver gets all excited and falls for the hype and moves ahead of us, that's great. Take a pick away from a team that might have taken a defensive end we want. I'm all for that. So, you know, I'm okay with keeping the hype going, like Kyler Murray's the next coming. I just don't want him to have anything to do with the Raiders. If Michael Mayock's worth his salt, he's going to recommend and give sound advice to stay away from that guy. One thing I forgot, I found this YouTube video that just dropped on the Raiders Stadium construction. Pretty interesting, so I want to let everybody know. Check it out. It came out on January 8th. Takes you through the construction, what's going on. It's pretty cool. It gives you an idea how the stadium is going to be built and what's in it. And also pretty cool, all the construction workers are rocking the Raiders logo. So anyway, check it out. It's a pretty short video, but it's well worth taking a look. I think it's about 10 minutes long. All right, that's all I got. Oh, man, I forgot one more thing, Q. Sorry. That Derek Carr interview was awesome. And you're absolutely right what you said. He dropped a lot of little hints in there about Amari Cooper not finishing his routes and things like that. I think Carr lost confidence in him. Maybe with just lazy route running. Anyway, it was very telling and nice to hear from him. great job on the interview, and thanks for playing that for us. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Great stuff right there. Great stuff, Victor. And, yeah, I appreciated and enjoyed that Derek Carr interview just as much as everyone did. Well, hopefully everyone enjoyed it. And always feedback. If you want to give feedback on that interview, you can. And you can give feedback on anything, 707-654-4693. So Victor in Cali, Brother Marquise in the 305, right in Miami, Vader Raider in the 303, P.E. in North Carolina, Raider Baconator in Seattle, Mikey the Barber in Sacktown, Raider Al in Georgia, Zane in South Carolina two times. Appreciate all you for your calls, your feedback, and your comments. And everyone who hits me up on Twitter, at your boy Q254, I appreciate you as well. Until next time, until Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.